Learning Nefesh HaChaim, Shah Dalad, we're starting Perek Vov. We spoke in the last class that while the main purpose of learning Torah, which is called learning Torah for its own, for the right motivation, is to know the Torah, and to know the Torah well, and to understand the Torah, and to grasp the Torah, to connect to the Torah and acquire the Torah. Certainly there's an important place in Torah for the fear of heaven, Yerushalayim. That a person needs the Yerushalayim as a precondition to Torah. And the analogy we used was a storehouse. So just like a person who amasses, a farmer, who's been growing produce, and he's got bales and bales of wheat and barley and all sorts of produce, so he would need a storeroom to put it in. So Yerushalayim, which is the proper type of respect that we have for Torah and Torah learning, is the storeroom. Without a storeroom, if you just leave your bales of wheat out in the field, they'll all be destroyed. They'll all be lost and destroyed and stolen. So therefore, you need a storehouse. A storehouse is a precondition to learning. So to learning itself, we need Yerushalayim as a precondition. And the last thing we just mentioned is that because, just as we understand, when a person makes a brocha, if you just rattle off a brocha, it sometimes often has very little meaning. In fact, you can say a brocha, you're drinking a glass of water. So you say a brocha before drinking a glass of water. Sometimes you're not even sure if you said the brocha. You say to a friend, did I say a brocha? Now that's how bad it can be, that we do it so automatically that it loses its meaning. We understand, however, that if a person would just stop for a moment, and that's a very hard thing to do, and we don't always do it, if a person would just stop for a moment and just think about what he's about to do. I'm about to bless Hashem, I'm about to thank Hashem for this glass of water that I want to drink. I'm about to make a brocha to praise Hashem. If we could actually do that, just, we're talking about like stopping for like a second, 1 or 2 seconds, it would be an amazing thing. We understand that the whole blessing would be different, the whole approach would be different. In fact, right through our davening, we've got this problem that we just rattle everything off without really being conscious of what we're doing. So this is really what we spoke about in the last class, that in terms of learning, also a person needs that moment of preparation. Now, that it's fitting to learn Yerushalayim, as Yerushalayim, the proper respect for Hashem, the proper awe for Hashem, is correct. It's correct to have a few moments of that before one starts learning. And the reason for that is because when we learn Torah, we're mamish speaking to Hashem. Hashem is literally speaking to us. And we have a number of teachings of the sages that the words that you say are being said at the same time by Hashem. But the idea behind that is it's the highest possible connection. The highest possible connection we can have with upper worlds, with Hashem himself, is learning his Torah. The Torah is the will of Hashem, as we mentioned before. This is the Rotzon Hashem. This is what Hashem wants. And as we're speaking to him about what he wants, what he wants is what he is. Just like a person is what he wants, we are our desires. Our desires define who we are. So too, the desires of Hashem are Hashem. The Torah is Hashem. So we engage in Torah, we engage with Hashem at the highest level. So therefore, we need those few minutes just to be conscious of that. Before we start learning, we need that consciousness that we're about to engage in Torah, we're about to engage in a very, very lofty pursuit. It could be it's the loftiest type of pursuit that's possible in our lives. That actually properly learning Torah, there's nothing higher we can do in terms of reaching spiritual worlds. This is really the peak. So that's the era that would have to be before we start learning. That pause, that moment of contemplation that we're about to engage in the Torah of Hashem. That was what we mentioned at the in chapter 5. So with that, we start chapter 6 as follows. And for this, the truth is that this is the true path. In other words, to have this awareness would be the true way, the true approach to start our learning. Which Hashem has chosen. In other words, the contemplation of that we're about to engage in Torah. So we're about to engage in this highest possible of activities. Right? And therefore, each time a person prepares himself to learn, it's correct for him to just to sit a little bit, just to pause a moment, to just contemplate for a moment what he's about to do. You're about to open a sefer, you're about to read the words of Hashem, you're about to understand the will of Hashem, the desire of Hashem. That's what you're engaging in. The Yiras Hashem Tahira Bataris Alev. Sorry, I skipped that. I'll call upon him Zman Muat. At least for a few moments, Yiras Hashem Torah, with a pure fear of Hashem, B'taras Aleh, with purity of heart, Lizvadus Al Chatosui, to confess his sins. And as we're about to engage in Torah, maybe before we engage, we should clean ourselves up. So then imagine a person is going to speak, he's got a very important meeting. He's going to meet a king or a queen, right? So he dresses properly, he has a shower, he puts on his nice clothes, he puts on his Shabbos clothes maybe, and he dresses properly. So here also, when we engage in Torah, we're about to engage with Hashem, we're about to come into contact with Hashem. So we want to clean ourselves up. So the proper cleanup would be to do a quick tshuva. Before we start learning Torah, maybe it's the time to do tshuva. Let's just at least think about things we're doing wrong. Let's at least confess our shortcomings. And that's what he says here, Lizvadus al Chatosui, to confess his sins, with a sincerity that he really wants to try and patch things up. He really wants to try and live the right type of lifestyle and to correct his ways. So that his study of Torah will come in with purity and with holiness. And he should have intention that in his learning he's going to attach himself to the Torah. He's learning Torah and he's attaching himself to the Torah. He's connecting with the Torah in the best possible way. And he's connecting to Hashem. Connecting with the Torah is connecting to Hashem himself. Which is to say, what does that mean? To connect to Torah is to connect to Hashem. It means to connect and to attach himself with as much as he's able, as much as he has within his ability, to the word of Hashem, which is the will of Hashem, which is the halacha. The halacha being how Hashem wants us to live, right? The thoughts Hashem wants us to think, the words Hashem wants us to say, and the words that he doesn't want us to say, not to say the words he doesn't want us to say, and to act the way he wants us to act, right? To follow the halacha. If it's Shabbos, we're Shabbostik. And if it's time for davening, then we're davening, then we daven. And if it's time to have a meal, then we do everything correctly. We do everything according to the Torah. And that would be considered clinging to the Torah, that we're living a Torah lifestyle. We're trying to do our best to live as the Torah wants us to live. And that's the halacha. The halacha defines how we should be conducting ourselves. Which is, as we said here, and with this he's clinging to Hashem literally, because that's the will of Hashem. He's living the will of Hashem. Blessed be he, and his desire are one, like we've said, like the Zohar writes, and every single law and every single locha in the Holy Torah, who ratzon yisbach, is the will of Hashem. She came gozer ratzon yishyeh kachadim, because that's what Hashem decreed. He said, do it like this. How should I do it? Do it like this, and how I want you to do it. Like a kid asks his father, make me a cup of tea. So he says, how would you like it? You want two spoons of sugar, one spoon of sugar? Do you want it with milk, without milk? So how does Hashem want us to live? Tell us how to live. This is how he wants us to live. So he tells us. He tells us, that's the Torah, that's Allah. He tells us, this is how I want you to live. Okay, that's the way we're going to do it. The way you want it is the way we'll do it. You know, we don't know. You know, the kid is making a tea for his father. I don't know. He doesn't know if his father wants with milk, without milk, with sugar, without sugar. He doesn't know. But so therefore he asks. Because Hashem is then, we don't know how to live our lives. So the Allah says, this is how you must live your life. Hashem tells us how to live our lives. Kosher, posel, tomer, v'toho, osel, muta, chai, v'zakai. וגם אם הוא עוסק בדיבי אגודה שאין בהם נפקוסה לשום דין, and even when a person engaged with stories of the Torah which don't have a relevance in terms of the halacha, as the stories of the Torah, we would say that is just stories about, you know, this tzaddik and that tzaddik, גם כן הוא דובר בדיבור של הקודש ברוך הוא. So when one learns the stories of the Torah also, he is clinging to the word of Hashem. Because the entire Torah, with all of its rules, all the general rules and the specific rules and all of the different details, this is the minute details, afilu masha talmid katan shoel mirabbi, even what a student is destined to ask from his teacher, I call yotzei mipiv yisbarach from Moshe b'Sinai. All of these words have come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth to Moshe. Moshe Amar b'Chazal, the Shabbos Siman Hey Peg Vav Yusham Peg Beis. The Peg brings a whole lot of sources that the words of Torah that we've learned are literally words that were said from Hashem's mouth. Shibashash Nigla Kodesh Bochu B'Sina Lita in Torah Yisrael. That when Hashem revealed Himself at Mount Sinai to give the Torah to Israel, Amar LeMoshe, I'll say the Mikra U'Mishnah V'Halachos LaGod. He told him the whole order, the entire Torah, the Mishnah, the written Torah, the oral Torah, all the different laws, all the different, and including the stories. So the stories we have, the stories that the Gemara says, the stories we have from the Midrashim, this is all part of the Torah. So this is all part of what Hashem has delivered to us. We understand that there's a message in the stories as well. Shinei Malach, the verse says, Yidav Elokim Eskol Advarim Ha'ele. As the verse says, Hashem spoke all of these words, Afilu Masha Talmid Shoel Rav Adkan, even what a student is destined to ask from his Rebbe, that's also inconsistent in the Torah. And therefore, it doesn't really matter which area of the Torah we are busy with. V'lo oid ela ki gam ba'oisa ha'eish odom oisik b'toi lamato. And not only that, but even at that very moment that a person occupies himself with Torah down in this world, called teva shemoitzi mipiv, every single word that comes from his mouth, hein hein advarim yoitzim kaviyochel gam mipiv yuzvorch b'oisa eis mamish. So those words are literally coming from the mouth of Hashem at that moment. Ked ashkechan b'pei kam in the Gittin, we find the Gemara in Gittin, gabi b'legesh b'giva. This is the story of the concubine at Giva. B'tizna alav pilogshoy. The story over there is that there was a man who was married, a Jewish man who was a lady. He was married to he had a concubine. A concubine is a type of wife. And he got very upset with her. He got very angry with her. And he threw out her the house. He was a very angry man. He didn't behave properly. He threw her out of the house. And she was wandering in the streets. And unfortunately, she was raped and murdered. She was killed. So therefore, and then he was very, very upset. So what happened was, he cut her corpse up into pieces. And he sent it all over Israel, saying, look what the people of Giva have done to my concubine. Right. Meanwhile, in a sense, you know, he wasn't totally guiltless of this whole story because he threw her out of the house. She was raped and murdered, and then he basically, through this action, he sent pieces of her body right through the whole of land of Israel. That basically, the whole land of Israel declared war on the tribe of Binyamin. They nearly wiped Binyamin out completely. And it's a horrific story, but it's a story that we have to understand. It's not a simple story to understand, but this is part of our history, and it's, you know, please God, we'll get around to learning it properly at some time. In any event, the verse says that he got angry with his wife because she did something wrong. And the verse says that Tizne alav pilokshoy. She mistreated him somehow. She strayed from what he wanted. She strayed from what his wishes were. And there's a machlokes in the Gemara exactly what does that mean, she strayed from his wishes. Rav Yosef amar zvuv matzaloi. So Rav Yosef says, what does it mean she strayed from his wishes? That there was a fly in his soup. That's what he was so upset about. Why he kicked out the house was there was a fly in his soup. And that's what it means that she strayed from his wishes. She gave him a plate of soup with a fly in it. And that's reason to kick your wife out of the house, I'm sure. So anyway, so that's how Rav Yosef says, that's how the story started. Right? And Rav Yonason and Omer Nima book. No, Rav Yonason says, well, it wasn't a fly, it was a hare. And that's the machlekes. It's a machlekes. I don't know exactly what the machlekes is, but the machlekes exactly why he was so upset with her. And if we're not understanding the story fully, but if we were, we'd probably understand exactly what's the difference between finding a fly in your soup or hair in your soup. But in any event, that's how they argued about the pshat in the psukim. So it says, the Gemara tells us, Ashkeche Reb Lezer Eliyahu. So Reb Lezer came across Eliyahu Hanovi. Amalei Maika Ovid Kutshebrich. He asked Eliyahu Novi, what is Hashem doing at this moment? Right? He had a very special opportunity to speak to Eliyahu Novi. We know there are choice tzaddikim who do at times merit a revelation from Eliyahu Novi. Sometimes he appears to them and he's willing to teach them Torah teachings. We have a whole set of midrashim which is called the Tana de Eliyahu, the teachings of the house of Eliyahu. These are teachings we have from Eliyahu Novi, which were recorded. So he met. The Gemara tells us the story that this rabbi met Eliyahu Novi. So he took advantage of the situation and he wanted to ask him, what is Hashem doing at this moment? What is Hashem doing at this moment? He said, Hashem at this moment is learning the sugya, of the concubinate giver. He's learning that parsha. Michael, I mean, what is he saying? Right. So this rabbi was in. He knew about this argument between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yonasan, whether it was a hare, it was a fly. So he asked, "Oh, Hashem's learning the same thing, and what is he saying?" So he asked Eliyahu, "What's Hashem saying?" So Eliyahu told him, "Michael, I mean," he told him, "Yossi b'ni kachu on me." He says, "My son, Rabbi Yossi, he explains it like this. He explains it was a fly." But Yonasan b'ni kachu on me, Yonasan, my son, explains it was a hare. Hashem's actually going through the dispute. So this is a Mefurish Gemara, an explicit Gemara, which says that what we discuss down here, when we learn and explore the Torah, Hashem, so to speak, goes through the same thing with us. He's with us. The Torah we speak is the words of Hashem. Hashem, so to speak, speaks with us as we speak the words of the Torah. Ha'anim b'nesha Rebbe Lezer, Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yonis, and Oskar b'nei b'inyan p'legesh b'giva, which is since these rabbis were busy, they were occupying themselves with the story of the concubine at giver. As at that very moment, Gam Hu Yisborach Shona V'Divrei Mamish. At that very moment, Hashem learnt their words together with him. Hu Yisborach Shmoy V'Dibur Echad, and He Hashem, blessed is His name, and His word. Hashem and His word are one. Hashem and His word is one. Basically, Hashem is one. The whole world is Hashem, and the whole world is one. Hashem and His word, even from our perception, Hashem and His word is one. The Mishnah Torah, like it says explicitly in the book of Dvorim, and Avas Hashem Lokecho. There's a pasuk there that speaks about a mitzvah that we have to love Hashem, our God. Upeshur Chazal ben Dvorim. So the Gemara explains there, what does it mean to love Hashem your God? What is that verse referring to? The Kayal Iskei Torah. It's talking about learning Torah. The Kayal Iskei Torah Ein Sham. Usefer the Kro. So it's talking about loving Hashem, means talking about learning Torah. And the end of the verse says, we'll save the crop, uledav kaboy. So the avos Hashem, to love Hashem, meaning to learn His Torah, which is to love Him, and to cling to Him. Through learning His Torah, we cling to Hashem. That's His proof. That Hashem's word, which is the Torah, and Hashem Himself are one. Through learning the Torah, we actually cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Tevli Torah Spicha. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, good for me, wonderful for me, is the Torah of your mouth. So we see he calls the Torah of Hashem's mouth. Tevli Torah Spicha, the Torah is the Torah of your mouth. And he says there that my heart rejoices when I toil over the holy Torah with all my strength. I invest all my strength. The more you put into the Torah, the more you get from it, right? The more mind you put in, the more effort you put into it, the more you throw yourself into it, the more you have it. So therefore, my heart rejoices in toiling through this holy Torah. Especially when it occurs to me, as I learn, I'm conscious of the fact that it's the Torah of your mouth. That in occupying myself in Torah, says David HaMelech, that's why I'm rejoicing Tevli. It's good for me because it's the Torah of your mouth. She called Tevli Mamish Me'at Torah, that every single word that comes from the Torah, Shani Oisig Bo Ka'es, which I'm engaged in at this moment, Hakol Yotso, Gam Atehi Yotzes Mipicha Yisboch, that all of it's coming out from Hashem's mouth, literally. And therefore, the entire Torah, its holiness is all equal, without any difference, any distinction at all, Chas v'Shalom. All the Torah is Hashem's Torah. The entire Torah we have is all Hashem's Torah, and therefore it's Hashem. And Hashem in His Torah one, so it doesn't matter which part of the Torah you're engaging in Hashem. You're speaking to Hashem in His Torah, so therefore it's all Hashem, it's all Torah, it's all Hashem, the all Torah is equal. Because all of the Torah, the entire Torah, is the word of Hashem, literally. In Chisev Sefer Torah Is Achas Miposuk Aluf Timna, and if the Sefer Torah would be missing even one letter of the verse which speaks about the chief of Timna, which was speaking about some Goyish chief, in Ifselis, just missing one letter which speaks about the chieftains of Timna, that would render the Sefer Torah unfit, would make the Sefer Torah apostle. Kamoi Maya Nechsa Is Echad Miaseh Sadibus, just as if one letter was missing from the Ten Commands, the whole Sefer Torah would be no good. So similarly, if one letter is missing from any detail of the Torah, even from who the chieftains of Timna was, the whole Sefer Torah will be unfit. Or Pasuk Shema Yisrael. Imagine a letter from Shema Yisrael is missing. It's irrelevant if it's Shema Yisrael or any other part of the Torah. Every single letter is critical. Moshe Kosov Gamma Rambam, Umi Tana Develio, and this is a teaching of Tana Develio, that every single part of the Torah has equal importance. And therefore we can never look down at any type of learning a person engages in, he's engaging with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, we're given the advice, the Gemara gives us the advice that En Adam Lo Yimed Ela Ma Shelivo Chofetz, that the best type of learning that each individual should be doing is what he likes doing the most. Because it doesn't matter where you're learning, wherever you're learning in the Torah, whatever it is, whether it's Halacha, whether it's Gemara, whether it's Mishnah, whatever it is that you're learning in the Torah, or you're learning Chumash, it's the word of Hashem. So that piece of Torah that you most connect with, so connect with it, because then you'll be more into it, because you like it more. It's like it fits your personality more. It's more where you're holding. It's the type of learning that you want to be doing. So that'll be good for you, for your learning, and if you'll be more connected, because it's all one Torah, it's all one single Torah, and whatever we engage in, we're engaging with Hashem literally. Perek Zayin, V'lezois roi la'adam lachin atzmoi kol eis, and therefore a person should ready himself at all times, koidu sh'yaschi lilmoi, before he starts learning, yischashev ma'at im koino yizborach shmoi betaris alev yiras Hashem, to spend some time thinking about, a little bit, about his creator, blessed be his name, with purity of heart and with an awe, with a fear of Hashem. V'litayim ma'avoi noisov, and to purify himself, to try and cleanse himself of his sins, bihirurei tshuva, with thoughts of tshuva. What's thoughts of tshuva? Thoughts of tshuva is a commitment in your mind that you're going to try and do better. I'm going to try not to make the mistakes that I've been making up to now. I'm going to try and perform better. And that's called hirurei tshuva. A person decides in his mind he's going to do better than he's been doing up to now. Kedei sheyuchal iskashel izdabek beis asker b'teir HaKadosh, that he's able to connect and to cling at the time he occupies himself with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, if you buy glue, so you read the instructions on the tube of glue, it says they clean the surfaces. Before you use the glue, don't use it on dusty surfaces. If you put glue with dusty surfaces, it doesn't stick so well. The dust is an interruption. It doesn't stick well. So you should clean it first. So the same thing, we want to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we should dust off our hearts, right? We want to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so therefore we should try and clean ourselves a little bit of our sins, so that we'll be able to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu better. And we cling to Hashem's word and Hashem's design. Also, a person should accept in himself that he should accept in himself to fulfill and to commit himself to whatever the Torah says. That when we learn Torah, we're learning with an idea in our mind that if we learn something that we didn't know before, we're going to start doing it. You learn something that we didn't realize, we never understood properly, and now we understand it better, we're going to do it. There should be like a pre-commitment that whatever I learn, if it's something that I haven't been doing up to now, I'm going to do it. That we should understand how we should conduct ourselves, how we should behave. You know, not all the instructions of the Torah are just instructs do A, do B, do C. It's not always like that. Sometimes a certain type of attitude we're supposed to have, a certain type of attribute we're supposed to have, a certain type of trait we're supposed to have, a certain type of way of thinking and a way of looking at life we're supposed to have. Those are things we also have to learn from the Torah, and those are things we should also adopt. And also when you're looking into a legal subject, when you're looking at something that's a halacha, something that's a detail of the halacha, it's fitting that he should daven that Hashem should give him the merit to understand that learning according to the halacha. You know, sometimes when you learn halachas, so it's intricate and there are a lot of details, so we're likely to make mistakes. So you should ask, you should actually daven, if you're learning halacha, you should daven that, please help me learn this properly, let me not get it wrong, help me to get it right. L'chaven l'amita shel Torah, that we should align ourselves with the truth of the Torah. We shouldn't make mistakes. V'chein be'emtza limud. Also in the middle of learning, person's learning, he's learning for a while already. In the middle of the learning, v'harishus nesuna la'adam lafsik zman muat. A person has permission to interrupt his learning a little bit. Tem yichbe min libo yirosi yizboshma. Before it goes out, the inspiration, like the flame. There's a flame, you know. He thought a few moments about how great it is to learn Torah, so that inspired him. Now he's learning, he's got involved in the intricacy of his learning, but he feels that his enthusiasm is waning, his excitement is getting a little bit stale. So therefore also he can interrupt his learning in the middle to think for a few moments again, what is he engaged in? Just to reconnect with what, how important what it is that he's doing, that he's learning to his most important possible occupation. So if, to interrupt your learning for a few moments to think about the honor that he deserves and the privilege of learning Torah, and what an exciting event this is in his life, or how important, how important an activity it is in his life, that is also appropriate, that's also correct. Just like Shekibah Lav, creating his scholars, just like when he started learning, he spent a few moments thinking about how great it is to be learning Torah, how important it is to be learning Torah. Now, every now and then a person can interrupt his learning and think for a few moments about the privilege of learning Torah. And he brings, to teach this, he brings an analogy as follows. It's a Gemara in Shabbos. And the analogy is as follows. There was a man, there was a farmer, he had a worker, an agent, a worker who was easy, he appointed him to do a certain job. So a man said to his worker, Haleli kur shel chitim lalia. He said, I want you to take out a kur. A kur is a large measure of wheat. I want you to take up this large measure of wheat up into the attic. Right there, as he was arranging the storehouse, they had new lots of produce coming into the storehouse, lots of grain. And he said, I want you to take all this grain, this whole quantity of grain, I want you to take it up into the attic. So afterwards, chule, right, the story goes on that the guy came back to him. He said, yeah, I did it, Mish, I did it. I put all the grain in the attic. So he says to him, 1 minute. When you took the grain up to the attic, did you mix a small quantity of chumtin? Chumtin is sand. Did you mix a small quantity of sand within the produce? Now, why would a person do that? The answer is because the chumtin, the sand, is a acts as a preservative. Right? We know that the grain can sometimes be moist, sometimes a bit fresh from the field, and it can rot. But the sand is a preservative effect. It preserves it. And specifically, the sand that comes from the area where the wheat grew, specifically that sand is the best type of sand. So that's what they call chumtin, a sort of salt, sort of a salty sand that they used to mix. Very small quantity, a small amount. A kav in a kur. A kav in a kur, by the way, is the ratio of 1 to 180. So it's a very small amount, because you have 6 kav is a saw, and 30 saw is a kur. So it's 6 times 30. So it's 1/180th of the grain should be a little bit of the sand mixed in. So the farmer asked the worker, did you mix in some of this chumtin of the salty sand? Amalei lo. So the worker said, no, I didn't think of it, you didn't tell me, I forgot. Whatever he said to him, Amalei mutav shelo elisa. He says, in that case, it's better that you never took it into the attic. In the attic, it's warm up there, it can rot, all the grain can rot. If you didn't mix them, this little preservative in it, the whole thing can be rot. The Kal Emta Esek Betvus Chochm Satur. So the Gemara there is not just referring to wheat, it's referring to our wheat, our grain, our produce, which is learning Torah. Our learning of Torah, that's our produce, that's our wealth. Just like a farmer's wealth is his grain and his barley and his wheat and his oats. So our wealth is our learning of Torah. So this is also referring to this analogy is referring to the learning of Torah. Shiroi Gamken La'arev B'Sech Yiras Yisboch. We should mix into our learning a little bit of fear of Hashem, a little bit of awe of Hashem, Kadesh, Tiskayim, Talmud, Biyodu, in order that our learning should last. And that's why when it spoke about learning Torah there, it just put that teaching there that we learned from Tanav Eliyahu, that a person should mix a little bit of chumtin, a little bit of the salty sand, together with his wheat, and it's not a problem. So seemingly, what's it got to do with Torah? Seemingly, these are laws of business. Because the law of business would be, you know, if I'm selling you 10 kilos of wheat, and in the wheat there's mixed sand, maybe I'm a thief. When I measure out the wheat on the scale, sometimes, you know, you ask me for 10 kilos of wheat, I measured it on the scale, I gave you, it's 10 kilos of wheat. It's not 10 kilos of wheat, there's a bit of sand mixed in. So maybe that means I'm a thief. So that's what the Gemara there is referring to. The Gemara is referring to there that you're not a thief. That since it's normal to mix the sand in the wheat in order to act as a preservative, so therefore the buyer knows and the seller knows, everyone knows that there's some sand in the wheat and it's not considered theft. You're not misleading him. You're not cheating him in any way, because that's just expected. That's what everyone understands, that if you sell wheat, there's some sand mixed in it. So now this teaching, which is teaching that this is not called cheating in terms of the laws of business, is taught over here by learning Torah. So what, why are the two put together? Why are these two teachings back to back? Right. He says, Asher makoyim v'seidin nezikim. Surely this law about that the sand mixed in the wheat is not, doesn't fit into this teaching over here. It fits over there with the laws of damages. My shaita hoche, why was it placed here? I'm a huruna b'zeh. Our sages want to teach. Just like with business. Hagam shenira kegezel uino. In the laws of business, just like, even though it might look like that he's cheating, the person might think he's cheating because he's mixing some sand in the wheat, and therefore he's cheating the buyer. Anan kevishaha kavra afa huashimu vakium shel kolakuatua. Since this dust and this salty sand is what preserves the wheat, and the choishish mishum gezel, there's no theft at all, because that's just the right way. The right way to sell your wheat is with a bit of sand mixed in. That's the correct way to do it. So therefore, you're not cheating your customer. Similarly, a person's learning in Kollel, and maybe the community is supporting him that he should be sitting and learning, right? And he's learning thoroughly, but he stops a little bit in his learning to learn some Musa. He interrupts his learning. He starts in the beginning of his learning, he learns a bit of Musa, and then in the middle of his learning, he learns a bit of Musa. And then every now and then he stops to do a bit of Musa, a bit of thought about the Yerushalayim. Maybe that's called cheating. You're supposed to be learning Torah. You're not supposed to be learning Musa, Yerushalayim at this stage. So therefore the point of this teaching is that it's a person is permitted to interrupt his learning of Torah and to nullify from the learning of Torah just a little bit, to think a little bit about his Yerushalayim, the fear he has of Hashem. And he shouldn't be concerned at all that this is considered bittul Torah. You should know it's not bittul Torah at all. Because this is what is going to cause that the wisdom of Torah will be preserved. It's an important preservative. However, we have to extract a certain learning from this. Basically, we've used up to you two analogies. We've called Yerushalayim, the fear of heaven, we've called having the proper respect for the Torah, we've called it a storehouse. We say before you're learning Torah, which is producing your produce, you should have a storehouse. So we've said Yerushalayim is a storehouse. And now we've learned a second analogy, that Yerushalayim is like the sand that the farmer mixes in with his grain, with his wheat. So with these two analogies, we need to learn from this, in terms of the mix of Torah with the fear of Hashem, how much Torah, how much fear of Hashem. Hefech mimashe shogu b'zeh kama mirabas b'nei amen. What we have to extract from this is the opposite of the error that many people make. Shekoivim kol esek limudam b'sifra yiro musa levat. There are people who fix all of their learning only in the books of fear and only the books of Yerushalayim. Right? They learn Musa and they only learn Musa. So that's what we were speaking about before, that what he said, that that's not really learning Torah. That's not really learning Torah. Torah is the body of the Torah. It's the grain of the Torah. It's the produce of the Torah, not just the Yerushalayim. Just like if a person wants and builds a storehouse, he wants to build a storehouse to put all his grain in. So first the storehouse. First he builds the storehouse, and then he starts working with the grain. Would a person think that since the preservation of his Torah is the storehouse, Yaso calls mano eruba bebina no itzelavad, would a person think he should only build the storehouse? He should spend all of his efforts building the most magnificent storehouse, the big, big storehouse, and he works for months and months and months and years on building the storehouse. A storehouse without any grain, and it's ridiculous. Why would a person build this huge silo? He's got no produce to put inside. Why would he build a storehouse for such a magnificent storehouse which was going to stand empty? So if we say the learning of Yerushalayim is only the storehouse, we understand that if a person puts all his efforts only into building up the storehouse, that would be ridiculous. Right? What, he's never going to be produce in it. He just builds the storehouse. He doesn't put any produce of it. So suddenly, how can a person think that it's only to learn Musa is the objective, when learning the Musa is only building the storehouse, it's only creating the right conditions in order to receive Hashem's Torah, but the real produce, the real wealth is the Torah itself, is the Torah itself, not just the fear of Hashem. So therefore, how could it be that a person would want to spend all of his time
only in terms of building the storehouse, which is the fear of Hashem, when it's an empty storehouse. It's going to come out that from all of his toiling, all of this years and years of work building up the storehouse, all he's got from all this effort is one mitzvah. It's one mitzvah of the Torah, which says you should fear Hashem your God. And also, just a simple thing to think, if a person has a storehouse with nothing in it, then it's not really a storehouse. Maybe it's four walls and a roof, but it's not a storehouse because he's not storing anything. So therefore we have to understand that the Yerushalayim cannot be an objective in and of itself. It has to just be a condition which we introduced for our learning Torah.